You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
If I asked you to close your eyes and picture the global economy, the actual, physical machine that keeps things moving, what pops into your head?
Oh, it's always the big stuff, the macro view.
Totally. Stock tickers, right? Or these huge container
Tree
ships.
reforms humming away somewhere, the stuff you see in the opening credits of a new show.
Exactly. But after going through the research for today's deep dive, I am convinced we are all overlooking the real MVP, the humble, hardworking forklift. I mean, think about it. Literally nothing gets to your door or to the grocery store without riding on a set of forks at some point.
It is the absolute muscle behind the supply chain. You're so right. If the forklift stops, the economy, well, it stops. But as we're going to find out, that muscle comes with a very, very serious price tag if it's mishandled.
That is the whole point. Yeah. We aren't just talking logistics today. We are diving into a stack of material, and our main source is shoptopics.info, their guide on forklift safety. And honestly, it felt less like a warehouse guide and more like a flight manual for a fighter jet.
Calling it a flight manual is actually a great way to frame it, because this document and the data we have from the National Safety Council, it paints a pretty stark picture. This isn't just about driving a heavy golf cart. We are talking about operating powerful industrial machinery where the margin for error is just razor thin.
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We want to get past the, the dry safety first posters everyone ignores. We want to unpack the physics of disaster.
And the psychology of it, and more importantly, how to stop these things from happening. Because there's one statistic in this stack that completely reframes everything.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the big aha moment.
Yeah.
But before we get there, let's just set the stage, the reality of the risk. Because I was genuinely surprised by the sheer number of accidents.
You'd think it would be safer.
Right. A controlled environment, flat floors, blate lights.
You would hope so. But let's look at the reality. We're pulling data here from the National Safety Council for 2023. In that year alone, 67 forklift-related fatalities in the U.S.
67. That's more than one a week.
It is. And those are just the fatalities. That's the absolute worst-case scenario. When you look at injuries, the numbers just explode. The Material Handling Equipment Distributors Association, MATA, they report over 40,000 incidents.
40,000.
Incidents that resulted in work restrictions or lost time.
I was trying to visualize that. That's like a full baseball stadium where every single person in the seats got hurt at work.
Exactly. And we aren't talking about paper cuts here. With heavy machinery, an injury often means crushed trauma, fractures. These machines weigh three, four, five times what your car weighs.
And when they hit a person,
The machine always wins.
that is just a terrifying thought. But here it is. Here's the aha moment, the stat from the Shop Topic source that just stops you in your tracks.
Let's hear it.
70% of these accidents are preventable.
70%.
It's not just frustrating, it's tragic. That means the vast majority of these 40,000 incidents aren't freak accidents.
No.
They're unforced errors.
But precisely. It shows this huge gap between, knowing the safety rules and actually doing them. It's a failure of protocol, not luck.
And the cost isn't just human. The source goes into the financial side, too.
Yeah.
We're talking millions, right?
Oh, easily. You've got damaged materials, wrecked machinery, structural damage, and then the production delays. If a forklift takes out a racking system, that whole part of the warehouse is shut down. The ripple effects are massive.
So if 70% are preventable, we have to understand how they're happening. What's the anatomy of an accident? The source breaks it down in the first one. Tip overs. That's the one that really got me.
Tip overs are the most dramatic, and unfortunately, they're the number one cause of fatalities.
And this is all about physics, right?
Yeah.
I think people just assume a forklift drives like a car.
And that is the fatal mistake. A car is designed for cornering. A forklift is totally different. It has no suspension. It's a rigid frame operating on what's called the stability triangle.
So, okay, the stability triangle, break that down for us.
So picture a triangle drawn on the floor between the two front wheels and the center of the rear axle. That's your base of support. As long as the center of gravity, the combined weight of the truck and the load, stays inside that invisible triangle,
You're safe.
you're safe. But that center of gravity is always moving.
Oh, that's the trick.
That's the whole game. In your car, it's pretty much fixed. In a forklift, every time you lift a load, it moves up. When you turn a corner, a centrifugal force pushes it sideways.
And if that point crosses the line of the triangle?
It goes over instantly. And it's violent. The source is very clear. Excessive speed, uneven surfaces, and improper load balancing are the main triggers.
So hitting a pothole in a car is annoying. hitting one in a forklift with 2 tons in the air.
It's catastrophic. It destabilizes the whole system.
Yeah.
And then there's the darkest part of this, something called the mousetrap.
The mousetrap? That sounds awful.
It is. When a forklift starts to tip, an operator's instinct is to jump. Get out.
Of course.
But the forklift tips faster than a person can jump. So as they try to leap out, the overhead guard, the heavy roll cage comes down, and the operator gets pinned between the cage and the ground.
Oh my God. So your own survival instinct is what kills you.
Yes. The actual protocol is to fight that instinct. You stay in the seat, brace your feet, grip the wheel, and lean away from the impact. The cage is designed to save you, but only if you stay inside it.
That is. That's a visceral image. It really explains why speed is such a huge factor.
You're managing physics, not just a steering wheel.
The next big category is collisions, which seems simple enough, running into things. But the source says poor visibility is a huge part of this.
Well, think about a modern warehouse. It's all about density. High racks, narrow aisles, blind corners. If you're carrying a big load, your forward visibility can be zero.
You're literally driving blind.
Often, yeah. The recommendation is to drive in reverse if your view is blocked. But if you ignore the traffic rules in that kind of environment, a collision is almost inevitable.
And then there's the one I feel like we've all seen in movies, the temptation to use the forklift as an elevator.
Ah, the falls category, the man basket problem.
The source is so strict on this. Workers riding improperly or standing on forks, it's people treating it like a taxi.
It's the classic shortcut. I just need to change this one light bulb. Or just lift me up to get that box. Yeah. You could go find the proper scissor lift.
Which takes 10 minutes.
Or your buddy is right there on the forklift. You hop on, he lifts you up, and there's no full protection. The forks are slippery, they're narrow. If the hydraulics slip or you just lose your balance, you're falling onto concrete.
It's that normalization of deviance. You save 2 minutes and risk everything.
Exactly. You do it once, it's fine. You do it 100 times, it's fine. You start to think the rule is dumb. And then on the 106th time, catastrophe.
We also have to talk about the machine itself. Mechanical failures.
Right, the unsexy stuff. Brake failures, hydraulic leaks.
But again, that 70% preventable stat, these failures don't just happen out of the blue, do they?
Rarely. They happen because of a lack of routine inspections. A hydraulic hose usually weeks before it bursts. Brakes feel spongy before they fail. If you skip the inspection to save 5 minutes, you miss all the warning signs.
Which is the perfect lead-in to the solution. The ritual of safety, as the source calls it. The pre-shift inspection.
I like ritual, but the pilot's checklist analogy is even better.
Okay, let's go with that, because you don't just jump in a 747 and turn the key.
Exactly. And a professional operator needs that exact same mindset. This isn't just paperwork, it's survival. Before you even start the engine, you do a physical walkthrough.
So what are you checking for?
First, the vitals, brakes, steering, hydraulics. You have to physically test them. Do the brakes actually hold?
Before you get a heavy load on the front.
Right. Then, communication. Horns and lights. In a loud factory, that horn is your voice. If it doesn't work, you're invisible.
And the tires. I didn't think tires would be such a big deal, since they're solid rubber.
They can't go flat, but they can chunk. Pieces can break off. And think back to our stability triangle. If one tire is missing a chunk, your stable platform is now permanently tilted. You're starting your shift already compromised.
And finally, the capacity plate. Checking the load capacity.
This is one people gloss over. They think it's a forklift. It lifts heavy things. But every single one has a specific limit. If you try to lift 6,000 pounds with a 5,000 pound rated forklift, physics will take over. Gravity always wins.
Okay, so we've done our pre-flight check. Now we're moving. The source talks a lot about the physics of handling. What are the golden rules?
Two simple mantras. Center and low.
Center and low.
Always center the load on the forks. If it's all on one side, you're basically creating a lever to tip yourself over. And always keep the forks low to the ground while moving.
I see people driving with the forks way up in the air all the time.
And it is incredibly dangerous. It raises that center of gravity so high. It's like trying to balance a broomstick on your hand. The higher the weight, the harder it is to control. Plus, it blocks your vision.
Right.
Keep it low, maybe 4 to 6 inches off the ground. You're stable and you can see.
The source also mentions structural awareness.
Yeah.
This is about not wrecking the building, right?
Exactly. You have to know your danger zones, dock doors, loading areas, but especially warehouse racks.
Oh, yeah. We've all seen those viral videos where one little tap brings the whole warehouse down like dominoes.
It's terrifying, but it's a perfect illustration. Those racks are under immense tension. A forklift is a battering ram. If you hit an upright, even slowly, you can compromise the entire row.
Okay, so we've got the physics. Let's talk culture, operating protocol, how we actually drive.
This is the human element, the habits.
Safe driving habits. It says operate at safe speeds, no sudden stops or sharp turns. But what's a safe speed in a warehouse?
It's basically walking pace, maybe 5 miles per hour. It feels painfully slow, but remember, forklifts steer from the rear wheels.
Wait, really? The back wheels turn?
Most of them, yeah. It lets them turn on a dime, but it also means they have tail swing. When you turn the wheel left, the back of the forklift swings wide to the right.
Oh, wow. So if you drive it like a car,
you're going to smash your rear end into a rack or a person. That's why speed and sharp turns are so dangerous. You have to account for that swing.
And then there it is again, the golden rule. No unauthorized riders.
The source is so emphatic on this. One operator, one seat, one seatbelt. There is no buddy seat.
It's strange how often that one gets broken, though. It seems so harmless.
It's the it'll never happen to me bias. But if that forklift stops suddenly, the rider is a projectile. It's just non-negotiable.
So who's enforcing all this? The source brings up OSHA, the institutional responsibility.
Right. Safety isn't just on the driver. OSHA mandates certification for all operators. You can't just hop on and learn as you go.
And it's not a one-and-done certification.
No. Refresher training is required every 3 years. Or, and this is key, immediately after an accident or even a near miss.
That makes sense. You mess up, you go back to school.
Exactly. And supervisors have to be active here. If they see someone speeding and say nothing, they are complicit in the next accident. The culture is defined by what you tolerate.
Okay, this next section is pretty sobering. When the worst happens, emergency response.
Because even with all the precautions, accidents can still happen. You have to be prepared.
First thing listed. Know where the emergency shutoffs are.
Absolutely vital.
Yeah.
If a throttle sticks or a hydraulic line bursts, you need to kill that machine instantly. There's usually a big red disconnect button. You need to know where it is blindfolded.
And reporting. Report all incidents immediately.
And notice the framing on that.
Hi.
For investigation, not just punishment. That is such a crucial distinction. If people are afraid to report a minor bump because they'll get fired,
they won't report it. They'll just grab some spray paint and cover the scratch.
Exactly. And then a week later, that compromised rack collapses. You report it so the team can learn why it happened. Was it a blind spot? Was the floor slick? You can't fix what you don't know about.
The part on first aid was a reality check. Burns, fractures, and crush injuries.
Crush injuries are the hallmark of these accidents. It's a heavy machine versus a soft human body. It's why that keeping distance rule is so important for everyone in the warehouse.
So when you step back from all this, the stats, the physics, the rules.
Yeah.
What's the core message?
I think the source says it perfectly. Forklift safety is not just about compliance. It's about protecting lives.
It's not just about avoiding a fine.
No. It's about making sure that everyone who walks into the warehouse at 8 a.m. walks out at 5 p.m. in the same condition. You are creating a culture of safety. You're watching out for each other.
It changes the operator. You know, we promise to leave listeners with something to think about, something that takes this outside the warehouse walls.
Right, because most of us aren't driving a forklift tomorrow.
That 70% preventable figure, it's a staggering number. It basically says we are the architects of our own disasters most of the time.
And that applies to everything.
Exactly. So here's the thought I want to leave you with. We all have our own operating environments. Maybe you drive a car full of kids. Maybe you manage a high-stakes project.
We all have risks we manage, loads we carry.
Right. So in your world, what is the pre-shift inspection you are skipping? What's the tire you know is balding but you're ignoring? What's that warning light on your dashboard, literal or metaphorical, that you've just put a piece of tape over because you're too busy?
That is a powerful question, because just like with the forklift, ignoring those small signs is what leads to the crash.
We control the preventable 70%. The rest is up to the universe, but we can lock down our part.
Couldn't agree more. Don't skip the checklist.
Thanks for diving deep with us today on a topic that's, well, heavy lifting in every sense of the word.
Stay safe out there.
See you on the next one.